Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This hour of Dale and Keefe is brought to you by 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram's summer clearance event. Get your new 2020 Ram Bighorn today.
This is the Dale and Keefe Show.
Pastrnak, he scores!
Coyle scores!
Krejci scores!
He scores! Patrice Bergeron! And the Bruins are up one game! Zero.
Dale Arnold.
We talk about energy. That is what Cam Newton is bringing. I have talked to a handful of players, and that's the first thing that jumps out to them is that Cam brings energy.
And he's got a great energy.
Definitely brings a good energy.
Rich Keefe.
And that's when I knew that if I kept doing this and kept learning, that I could have more and more success in this
league. Way to go. Oh, hey, whoa. Did you see that throw, everybody?
Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart.
After reviewing the play, there was control and possession by the goalkeeper, therefore nullifying the hand.
Wow. Puck Luck on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. Our buddy from WEEI.com, Andy Hart, is in the house. Good morning, Andy.
Hello, Skinny Dale.
Well, not skinny, but skinnier anyway.
Well, too skinny for your clothes.
And this is an indication of the times in which we live and work. One of the co-hosts of today's program I have never met. I've admired his work when he was across the street. I admire it even more now that he's working on our radio station, but it's the first opportunity I've had to speak to and work with Nick Cattles. Nick, it's great to have you on board.
Thanks, Dale. Thanks for the nice little invite to the show today. Andy Hart, I know you fairly well. Glad
we've
to be
never
on the show,
met either, Nick, just to be fair. No. We do work together every week. We've never met.
Well, we have via Zoom. I guess if
I don't
you
think
count
that
in 2020.
Oh, wow. I've had some relations with some impressive women, if online counts. If I look at a screen and that counts.
Oh, really? Really? Right. Ooh. In the first 30 seconds
I'm like John Mayer.
Of the program,
I have quite a list of conquests.
I'm going to start working blue already. Look, we'll talk a lot of hockey today, and Andrew Raycroft is going to join us. We'll talk football, and Mike Giardi is going to join us. But I know that Andy Hart will have an opinion, because I just ruined Wiggy's day when I pointed out to him the Dan Roach tweet. And Rochi tweeted out about 40 minutes ago, quote, "Hearing with new guidelines implement from the state, there won't be high school football in the fall."
I'd like to say I'm surprised, Dale, but I'm not.
I was expecting it.
We're not even going back to school in my town.
Exactly.
So as soon as I found out they're not going to classrooms, well, they're obviously, am I going to bust the kid over myself at 3 o'clock to play football? They're afraid to teach him geometry, but they're going to let him bang head. Like, fear has won, Dale. I need to just wave the white flag. Fear has won, because all I see is positive numbers. I see the governor putting out charts that says almost everybody in the state should be going back to school. The numbers are great. This is a guy who didn't want anybody going on a golf course, acres and acres of green grass. He didn't want anybody doing anything. And Governor Baker's saying, you know, well, we've done a pretty good job. Let's get back to our lives. And yet fear continues to rule the land.
And kind of ironically, And Nick, you've probably heard this as well. If you watch the news programs nationally and all that, they talk about what a great job Massachusetts has done, better than most other states. And even here, apparently, most places will not begin with students in classrooms when school comes back here in another couple of weeks.
Yep.
My daughter's a high school teacher. She's going to be teaching, you know, remotely again. And as Andy said, how do you have sports if you can't bring kids into the school?
We're setting kids back. We are setting these kids back in their most important developmental years, physically, mentally. And I know, you know, people like I and Wiggy will get, you know, hardos. Or I truly believe football changes young men and gives them confidence and does certain things to develop them. And We're taking that away. We're taking away the socialization. We're taking away the learning. And all for the fear of 1% of 1% of what could happen if, when, and how. I truly, truly do not understand it. And I don't think the people that are making these decisions understand the long-term damage they're doing to the kids and the school systems and the communities and our future. I don't know if you've heard, Dale, children.
They are the future.
They are the future.
I heard that.
Our future is effed, and well, our present's pretty bad, too.
When you look at this kind of decision, and we see this with college football, right, a lot of different people making decisions for different reasons. There's different biases in each of those decisions, guys. And I just try to boil this down and keep it simple. And to me, the most simple way you can put this is, what are the medical people saying? What are the experts saying? What are the advisors saying? Do they feel like it's safe for kids to be back into school? Do they feel like it's safe to have them back on a football field? I'm no medical expert. If they tell me that there is risk, if there is inherent risk with bringing kids back, then I'm not going to do it, because I tend to listen to the experts. If they tell me that it's not safe to have young men and women back in school, and they tell me it's not safe to have young men on the football field, then I'm sorry. I'm listening to the experts. I might have my own opinion, but I'm not the expert in this conversation. So I do think, Andy and Dale, you know, you look at this and why the decisions are made and who is making those kinds of decisions, that's the conversation to have.
You bring up an interesting point, Nick, and I think about it in terms of yesterday we got our first on-field practice video footage from the Patriots down at Gillette. And I see Bill Belichick and all the coaches and the trainers all wearing masks out on the field despite the heat and all of that stuff. You think of the protocols and safeguards that have been put in place by the NFL to ensure that they can keep their athletes healthy enough to complete a 16-game regular season. And I know there isn't a high school on the planet who has anything approaching the financial resources of the NFL. And it just may be an acknowledgement that once we get them in a group and get them out on the practice field, we can't keep them safe.
Yeah, I just think the numbers tell different stories of transmission outdoors and how it spreads outdoors. And I know in Dartmouth, my hometown, they're doing strength and conditioning workouts. And yes, they're, you know, wearing masks until they actually get to the field. And then they're doing the drills socially distance. And I understand football, you can't socially distance in the game itself when you actually get on there. But I just think, I keep using the phrase that the Americans with Disabilities Act says, reasonable accommodations. Take reasonable precautions and then go about your business, go about your life. Because quite frankly, if a minimal risk is the line we can't cross to play football, then football should never be played again. Because football inherently includes minimal risk, not just broken legs and torn ACLs, but we now know to the brain of these people playing this sport long term. And if the minimal risk is your concern, then never put a helmet on again.
Hold on,
because
hold
the helmet
on, Andy.
Has a sticker that it has
no,
inherent
no, no,
risk.
No, I got to disagree there. Here's the difference, okay? When we talk about inherent risk in football, we talk about injuries, we talk about CTE, we talk about concussions. Here's the difference. It's an individual choice, right? If you make the decision to go out there and play football and you get hurt, you are hurting yourself. That's the decision that you made, and because of the decision that you made with any information that you had and you got hurt, that's on you, and you've got to deal with that injury. The difference here, and why I hate the comparison, I keep hearing people talk about CTE and concussions and try to compare that to what's going on right now. The difference between all of that is, Andy, if I end up getting COVID-19, and I'm not saying the kid shouldn't be playing. Again, let's listen to the medical experts. But the difference, trying to compare this to what's going on the field with your regular, normal, quote-unquote football injuries, the difference is that this affects other people. This affects people outside of the individual.
Yeah, your broken leg won't have an effect on the guy you're
exactly.
lining up against.
If I
choose to play, I choose to play.
Yeah,
if my family allows me to play, then they allow me to play. They understand I come home.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is you can't compare it to other injuries. The infectious disease, the spread of this, affects everybody else. So the decision that you're making, while it's an individual decision, it affects everybody around you, just in case. Again, the 1% of the 1%, all the numbers, I know them, I look at them, I study them just like you do, Andy. But the difference between catching COVID-19 and blowing out your ACL is, if I hang out with you on a Friday night after you just went to school or played football, I can't catch your ACL. I'm not going to hurt my ACL because you hurt your ACL because you and your parents thought that it was fine to play football. We all understand that there's risk. There's innate risk in the game of football. It's physical, it's violent. The difference here, and it's a clear difference to me, is that if you get this, then you can pass it on. And that's what we have to look at. This is not just about the individuals on the football field playing in that game.
There's an interesting debate going on right now for college football, NCAA football. Two of the conferences have said, no, we're done. The other three have said, we're going to try.
Yep.
One of the NCAA's chief medical advisors is a guy named Dr. Carlos Del Rio. He was asked whether he thinks the NCAA should go forward with fall sports. And this is what he said, quote, "We have a serious problem. I feel like the Titanic. We've hit the iceberg, and we're trying to make decisions of when the band should play," unquote. He's saying, we got issues. And again, every college program in the country has more financial resources than every high school program in the country. And one of the NCAA's chief medical advisors says, we got issues here.
Well, that's one of my questions all along. In the, why are conferences making decisions?
Yeah.
Why is this not an NCAA issue?
The same reason states are making health decisions and not the federal government.
Well,
because people are passing the buck.
But don't you think that worst case scenario, when the ish goes bad in, let's just say, the SEC, you think the lawsuits that will come from that, because I firmly believe that liability and litigation is a major consideration for some of these decision makers.
Sure, absolutely.
Don't you think that that lawsuit will go as high up the ladder as it can go? And what's the highest rung in college sports? The NCAA. I'm suing Alabama, Nick Saban, SEC. I'm also suing the NCAA because that's where the money is funneled into, correct? The NCAA basketball tournament. So when I'm that billion-dollar lawsuit, so shouldn't the NCAA be making decisions and not saying, ah, you're in the South, you do what you want. You're in the West, you're a little more, you know, cautious. You don't do what I think it's where we started with schools 5 months ago when they were leaving it to individual school districts and superintendents to make decisions before they finally said, okay, everybody's going home in the state of Massachusetts. The NCAA needs to step up. When you're the right, you sit at the head of the table.
Just think about how dumb that statement was. And that you're wrong, by the way. When has the NCAA ever stepped up on anything?
When there's a paycheck coming in.
Yeah, except making sure that the kid can't get help to fly home for his father's funeral or something.
You know, when we're waiting for the NCAA, we're waiting for Godot. When you look at what's going on here, okay, when you look at, if you want to talk about the NCAA level, you know what question nobody is asking? Everybody's talking about whether or not college football should start. Here's the question. Could they finish? If you start a college football season with all the good intentions, right, all the information, and it really depends on who you're listening to. The ACC medical advisor Cameron Wolf comes out. He says, oh, there's going to be risk, but we feel like we can manage the risk. The Pac-12 medical experts come out the other day and they say, we don't have the testing figured out. We don't have enough testing. The turnaround is not good enough, and it differs from school to school. And as long as that goes on, we're not going to bother bringing these guys back to play football. Okay, so we sit there and we talk about starting the season. What if you don't finish? What happens to eligibility then? You know, people are freaking out. They're losing their ever-loving minds, guys, because, oh, the seniors aren't going to be able to play their senior season. That's not necessarily true. They might be able to retain that eligibility, and it looks like they're going to. But let's put that aside. If you play this year, if you start, if you kick the football off in late September, early October, what happens if this unpredictable, because it is unpredictable, nobody knows the long-ranging effects of this and nobody knows where this is going to lead us. What happens if things happen to go bad? I don't know. They could go good. They could absolutely go good. What if they don't? And what if the ACC, for example, has to stop after week four? What do you do then? Do those kids keep their eligibility? They already started playing. Do you tell them, oh, you know what? Here's a little gift for you because you decided to play during a global pandemic. We'll just add 5 games to your eligibility. How does that all work? What happens if, you know, you stop? Are you going to start again? Or does the season end after that first month? It is a disaster. College football, out of all the sports we talk about, has long been the least likely to actually get this thing executed. There's way too many cooks in the kitchen. Nobody has no idea what the next person is going to say and how they're going to say it. It's a mess, and Andy, to get back to your point, the NCAA, Mark Emmert, and the rest of his cronies, they're in the corner of the room with their tails tucked between their legs because they have nothing to say and nothing to do, just like they always sit there with nothing to say and nothing to do.
And we all know that financially, if football's cooked, A lot of other people are cooked. And then you get into, because you mentioned this actually happened with spring sports, where there was, okay, we're going to give you another season of eligibility. And then places like Wisconsin said, the NCAA might, but we can't cover your scholarship for another year. We have an incoming class of freshmen. We have tight budgets. Barry Alvarez, the former coach, as their AD, said, you know, these are tough decisions, but we can't continue to pay for you to come here. Your scholarship has run out, essentially. And those are the decisions you're going to get to now with football and fall sports. And then, of course, the simple answer that a lot of people are talking about, oh, so we're just bumping it to the spring. Well, if you're talking about high school, well, what about two-sport athletes? What about guys that already missed their sophomore or junior baseball season? Now they're looking at missing their football season. Oh, no, we're going to bump that back, but you'll have to choose between whether you're a baseball player or a football player. And I know in life and death situations, these are minor things, but when you're that kid, that is life and death. That is your world.
Part of my my daily routine is I walk up by the high school, and every single day, I see captain's practices out there. I see the girls' field hockey team, or I see soccer players, or, you know, you started to see the football players a month or so ago. And I see them out there and busting their humps in the hot sun. And every day I think, these poor kids probably aren't going to get to play. It's the kids I feel the worst about.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I don't think that there's an option. I mentioned my daughter, who's a high school phys ed and health teacher and a hockey coach. Well, she's not going to be able to teach in school, and her hockey team probably isn't going to get to start playing in November. I mean, this affects everybody differently. I feel horrible about it, but I'm not sure that just let them out there. Let's go. Open the doors. I don't think that's the right answer either.
Well,
why
you know what happens?
Why
what
not?
Happens is this, right? You have a lot of people with their personal feelings, and everybody is in their feelings right now. Everybody's talking about things from a political slant. Everybody's looking at this from what they would personally do and individually do, which is fine. We all have the right to do that. But when you're making these huge decisions, critical decisions, talking about people's health and what the future is going to look like here the next 6 months, we don't know. You can have your opinion. That's fine. I have an opinion. Andy has his opinion. Dale has his opinion. Opinions are great. But when I look at my car or my truck, if there's an issue with it, I might have an opinion with what's wrong with my truck, but I'm not going to roll up to the mechanic and tell the mechanic what he should do. I'm going to leave it up to the expert. I'm going to leave it up to the guy that actually knows what he's doing. When I go to a doctor and I have an issue, I might believe that I have something gastrointestinal. I'm going to go to the doctor and I'm going to say, hey, this is what I think I have and what I should do, but you tell me. You want to know why? Because you've spent your entire life in this field. Epidemiologists, people that look at infectious diseases, the medical advisors and the experts, those are the ones that have to make the decisions. We should be at the table. We should have these conversations. We should share our opinions. But ultimately, we have to take bias out of it. We've got to take the commissioners out of it, the presidents of these universities out of it. We even have to take the NCAA and clueless Mark Emmert out of it. And we have to ask the medical advisors and the experts, the people that know what they're talking about.
But none of them agree. That's the problem.
Well,
If we could just get the experts to agree, but we have different experts all over the country, all over the world, telling you different things at different times.
No, here's the thing, Andy. To say none of them agree is a crock.
No. It's 50-50, though. It's you can find people that agree with any viewpoint you have, and that's how we're ending up with these conferences, because they all have experts that are willing to tell them. Now, you may think they found experts that are telling them what they want to hear so they can get to their end game, which is to play or not play. That's a fair debate. But there are plenty of people with very impressive degrees, resumes, careers that disagree on this topic.
Well, here's what I would say. It comes down to semantics. I don't think anybody walking this planet disagrees with the notion that there is a risk to have football being played. I don't think any medical advisor with a brain, anybody that didn't get their degree off of, you know, some kind of weird online place they paid a couple hundred bucks for, anybody that is worth their salt in the medical profession, Andy, would say there is some risk. Even look at Cameron Wolf, right? The ACC. The ACC, medical advisor comes out 2 days ago, whatever it was, and he says, well, we think we can manage the risk. We're confident we can manage the risk. Notice what he's saying. He's not saying it's completely safe. He's not saying that there's no risk. What he's saying is, in his estimation, his own conference, who he works for, he believes they can manage the risk. Okay, great. That's what he believes. But there is risk.
And but we all take risks. Life is risks right now.
But again,
and I'm not just saying that in general. I'm saying if you go to the grocery store, there's risk.
They're not life and death risks.
But the grocery store could be.
Now, come on, Andy.
Wait a minute. How are you telling me when I go interact with all these people that I have no idea what they're doing
because coming and going? Because you're wearing your mask. They're wearing their mask.
They're not always. I've been in plenty of places
there
now.
There aren't many now.
Ace Hardware, Dartmouth, Massachusetts. I've seen multiple people with no damn masks on. So there's risk there. But am I going to just sit home and say I can't leave my house, I can't do everything?
No.
Or do I say it's a minimal risk? I'm really reading all the numbers and I'm seeing all where we are right now. It's minimal risk.
Right. I agree. No, I don't think anybody that has paid attention to the numbers is looking at this, Andy, would disagree with the notion, the idea that it's a minimal risk. I don't think anybody disagrees with that. I think a lot of people look at the numbers and understand. No matter what side of this you're on, I think all of us should be truthful and honest with each other and say there is a risk. Now, it is a minute risk compared to many other things that you can do. The problem of your point, however, in my estimation, your opinion, why I disagree with it. Number one, when you walk into a store and other people aren't wearing their masks, what can you do, Andy?
Get away from them.
You can leave the store. You can go to a store where you're comfortable, and you can then shop at that store. When you're on the football field and you're on a team and you've got a coaching staff, you've got an athletic director like Colorado State who reportedly is trying to intimidate players to get out there and play football or else, quote unquote, when you have that kind of power structure set up and you have 18 to 21-year-old men who are making decisions based off of, am I going to get drafted? Am I going to make some money? Am I going to keep my roster spot? That power structure right there is what is corrupt. That is a big, big problem. I'll also circle back to what I said earlier when we were talking about high school. When you look at this risk, it is not an individual risk. I'll scream that from the mountaintops if I have to. If you make the decision that you're going to play football, fine. But if you're going to play football and then you're going to walk into sociology class and you just happen to contract COVID-19 and you don't know it yet and you pass it to five people who are in that class just trying to learn, well, that's going to be an issue, right? So this individual risk, we can't compare this to anything else. There's a reason why we have global pandemics once every 100 years. This ish doesn't happen usually.
Right. Right,
so when it does happen, we got to look at it.
So we're waiting until it's zero.
Andy, just wait. Just hold
on. I can't, Dale. I'm angry. Angry
well,
Andy today.
I'm going to get angry if we don't get this break. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Happy to have Nick Cattles in the house. Not quite as happy to have Andy Hart.
Oh, screw you, Dale.
See? Now you know why. It's Dale and Keith, and it's time to trend.
OMF. Weekdays from 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com, the Bruins' quest for the Cup. Game 2 tonight against the Carolina Hurricanes after a double overtime victory yesterday morning. Yeah, I did say morning. A puck drop for Game 2 between the Bees and Canes set for 8 o'clock tonight from the Scotiabank Arena in Toronto. The Celtics playoff matchup is set. Seas will take on the Ben Simmons-less Philadelphia 76ers in the first round of the playoffs. Cattles has got some strong opinions about that that we'll get to before the day is out. Sox struggles continue. 9-5 loss to the Tampa Bay Rays last night. The Sox and Rays will finish their four-game set at 4:30 this afternoon on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Kyle Hart makes his Major League debut on
Woo-hoo!
The mound.
Woo-hoo! Go Kyle! Let's Yeehaw. Go Hart, family!
Trending now, brought to you by the Dana-Farber Brigham and Women's Cancer Center, where everyone on your team specializes in your type of cancer and works to create a personalized care plan just for you. A plan focused on keeping you safe and defeating your cancer. Learn more at youhaveus.org. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dale and Keith.
Let's get back
with Andy Hart
on Sports Radio WEEI.
On WEEI.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Our buddy Dan Roach from WBZ-TV is the guy who tweeted out about an hour or so ago now that he is hearing, sources are telling him, and Rochi's pretty good at this stuff, are telling him that there will be no high school football. And obviously, we're talking football because it's the biggest sport in America, but that means no fall sports. That means those poor field hockey girls that I see up at the field at Bellingham High School aren't going to have their season, and the soccer kids aren't going to have their season. And
well, are we sure about that, Dale? Well, just because I know football, cheerleading,
I'm not sure of it,
were the highest risk. They were categorized by the state of Massachusetts as the highest risk.
Yeah.
So I want to just be cautious before
And I'm saying it would appear,
yes,
that, because I don't think you're going to have many kids back in schools.
Right. Well, that, yes.
I don't think there will be few, if any, schools that say, yep, doors are open, we'll see you know, August 20th or whatever the date is.
Even though the governor is telling them they should be going to school.
Well, he's saying they can.
Quote, I don't see any reason why schools can't return.
Right. He's saying the numbers are saying that. The problem you're having here, though.
Fear.
Well, and not just fear, but money. You know, the amount of money that these schools have to invest to make their schools, to comply with the CDC guidelines and plexiglass and distances and, you know, you're basically setting up classrooms in the gym and in the library. It just, from a physical standpoint, is going to be virtually impossible for these schools to comply with the guidelines that are out there.
But a lot of them have already at least started to go down that road. I know because they were planning, if you follow a lot of these, they had to submit three separate models or plans.
Right. It was in school, yes. It was hybrid, and it was remote.
And so they had to go down the road of, you know, the removing desks so they could have the proper distance in each room. And I think that's where a lot of them said, well, if we remove desks, there's no way we can do full. I can't bring 23 kids into this classroom if, you know, and be 6 feet or 3 feet. It's just not possible physically. But then they went down the roads of, how do we sanitize? Who's going to sanitize? Who, you know, do we need more custodial staff? Plexiglass, doing different things, formulating outdoor teaching spaces or turning retrofitting gyms into big open-air classrooms.
And the outdoor teaching spaces in this Commonwealth are great up until you hit about November 1st.
I would love to get there, Dale, because I think there's an immense value in teachers seeing their student and students seeing their teachers, even if it's only for 3 months. And then you're right. You know what? We had to close the windows, turn the heat on. We lost the outdoor. It's just we can't do it anymore. Okay, now go remote. Now that you have a relationship between teacher and student, because I think it's going to be really hard. I would not want to be a teacher that just starts the year. I don't know that kid that I'm looking at the 17, 20 faces on my Zoom class, and building that relationship and trying to teach and reach each individual student based on their energy, their learning style. Like, it's almost an impossible task.
Yeah.
Like, I understand the fear of the coronavirus. It is legit. I'm not one of those don't wear a mask because blah, 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 and it's not real. And this will end on November 3rd when the election's over. No, I believe it exists. But I think there isn't enough fear of the ramifications of the path we're going down of kids sitting at home in front of a computer screen, no socialization, no development, no outlets, no economy. The parents can't go to work because they got to stay with the third grader. I don't think there's enough fear of what that's going to lead to.
Well, here's the thing. We always talk about every single topic in this world as black or white. And it's been said for a long time for a reason, because it's true there's an awful lot of gray in the world, right? So I think everybody sees this as keep everything shut down. Don't do anything. Oh, you're supposed to quarantine for the next 7 months. What, are you supposed to quarantine until there's a vaccine? No. What you're supposed to do, in my estimation, it's my opinion. So, hey, it's one guy's opinion. But the way I look at this is rather simple. Like, I hang out with my friends. When I hang out with my friends, I wear a mask. That's my individual choice. That's what I decide to do. Most of my friends, pretty much every single one of them, they don't wear their masks. So you know what I do? I hang outside 98% of the time when I'm hanging out. When I'm inside, I will be well beyond the 6 feet of social distance. That's how I decide to live my life, just like others are deciding to live their lives in different ways. It's the same thing for me as schooling. The issue, however, because in a perfect world, you would be able to have these classes and be able to distance yourself enough. You'd be able to have testing, you know, if not every day, then every other day, every 3 days. I mean, you see some of these videos from overseas in Asia, and the protocols that they follow are insane. I was watching a video 2 months ago of this young boy walking into class, walking into the school building, and you won't believe how many things that young boy has to do before he even sets foot into the school. They sanitize his entire, you know, body. They sanitize his feet, hand sanitizer. They sanitize his backpack. He's got to get his temperature taken. There's all these steps that, you know, others are doing to get their schooling back in gear.
Mm-hmm. And here's the other part of this. And this is going to sound like a political rant, and I guess in a way it kind of is.
Uh-oh.
We could be back. Right now, we could have kids back in school. We could have football. We could have the economy at least beginning the process of rebounding. The problem was in this country, we weren't willing to do what other countries did. You know, it wearing a mask became a political statement. No, I'm not going to. It's not for me. No, I have my rights. I'm not going to. If we had done all that stuff back in March and April, we'd have a handle on this now. We decided to not do that. We collectively, I don't mean you, me, and Nick. I'm saying collectively, this country decided, now screw it. If I don't want to wear one, I'm not going
to
wear
one. To be fair, I wear a neck gaiter, which I found out is now actually worse than wearing nothing.
Yeah, it's not good. That study isn't the best study in the entire world. But yeah, they're trying to say it's not that good. And listen, we see this happen in other countries, and we tend to. We tend to build it up because the United States of America, we all know, it's based on your individual freedom and your right to do certain things. But Dale is right in this regard. When you look at other countries, the way that they've dealt with this, the ones that came down the hardest and the quickest, they got back to normalcy.
And stuck to it.
Yeah, somewhat of normal. I mean, you see New Zealand, who went 100 days without a single case. They had a few cases the other day. They went right back to like phase two and phase three in certain areas. And that's a spot where there's been none of this for more than 3 months. And as soon as there was a sniff of it, we're going to go right back to the phases. So you're dealing with a lot of different, you know, people that have a lot of different feelings and, you know, political thoughts about where we are right now. And I do think that absolutely, you know, convolutes the message. And the other issue is, of course, you hit it, Dale, it's financial. You know, we want these. I mean, teachers aren't even getting paid enough money to do their jobs on a regular basis before
COVID-19.
When their lives
aren't in danger.
Yeah. Yeah. And so.
Wait a minute. Ed Markey says that we're each going to get like $2,000 a week in perpetuity.
Yeah.
There's
plenty
of money.
Yeah.
Oh, plenty of money.
And we all believe that, right?
Yeah, right.
I'll take it, though.
But now we're going to ask, you know, these public schools, we're going to ask the, you know, private schools are a different world. They can limit class sizes. They can do some of these protocols. They have the money because of tuitions to kind of put towards COVID-19. Public schooling, I mean, you're going to ask public schools to open their doors and try to get a handle on this. You saw, you know, that one school in Georgia, there was a tweet that came out and a picture of all those kids in the hallway walking. And of course, that county pretty much had to shut their schools down for 2 or 3 days.
After they suspended the girl who took the picture.
Yeah.
So that didn't seem right.
Yeah. Don't tell it. Hey, don't tell anybody what we're doing here.
The other issue here that you bring up, Cattles, is the cost in the schools. We're going to see an increased socioeconomic divide in the education system because you're already seeing people that have the ability to, I'm going to go to this private school that is doing this. I'm going to, and well, not everybody can do that. So now you have a little bit more of this system where you have the educational haves and the have-nots. And the have-nots will be sitting at home, hopefully with decent broadband, staring at a computer screen for 6-7 hours a day.
Thankfully, they have a computer, Andy, in the first place.
Yes, right. Yeah. If they're lucky enough to have it or the school system disperses it, whatever. I also think that's not healthy. And I already made this declaration. If they expect my kids to sit for 6 or 7 hours, I'm not allowing it. To me, that's not healthy. Staring at a computer screen for 6 or 7 hours. The Hart family, I will chime in on my Zoom and say, excuse me, the Harts are taking a 1 hour break. We'll be back at 1 p.m.
I think you can.
I can. I'm an American, Dale.
Yeah, there we go.
You ever read the Constitution? I can do what the hell I want.
Except you told me you haven't read it.
Never once.
No, okay. 617-779-7937. I promise. Right to the calls with you guys coming up next. We'll talk to Andrew Raycroft at 11:30. Mike Giardi will join us at 12:30. It's Dale and Keefe with Hart and Cattle Sports Radio, WEEI.
Ready for more?
Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Nick Cattle's Andy Hart in. Rich is off on vacation. We need two people to replace Rich. He's so valuable to the organization. So we brought... Hello?
You all right, Andy?
Okay there?
Excuse me.
You good?
No. The
Now you
the
know
coffee.
Why I'm not sitting in there right now. God, you're coughing all over everything. I want to go back to a point Nick made earlier because I think he hit the nail on the head. You know, the kid's playing high school football, and then he's going into the sociology class, and, you know, he inadvertently, unknowingly... ends up infecting five kids in the sociology class. They then go home and they see their parents and their grandparents and their brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles. And those five, you know, end up being 15 more or 20 more or 30 more. That's the reason why I think high school sports have been so, and high school in general, school in general has been so hesitant. It's not just the kids for whom the threat is probably much smaller than it is for adults. We don't talk about the teachers and the support staff in these buildings. We don't talk about the danger that they face. We talk about, oh, the kids will be fine. Don't worry, they'll get the sniffles. Let's go. We don't talk about the dangers that the adults face.
But could they do it? I mean, could they pull a Bill Belichick and have their mask on if they want to put a face shield on or however they want to handle it and stand in front of the class, right? I mean, they can distance themselves. They can take precautions, and maybe they are. Elders, maybe they're close to retirement, or maybe they have conditions, and unfortunately, maybe they have to make a tough decision. And I know that is one argument brought up by a lot of school committees and superintendents, staffing, and what if we have a certain percentage that, you know, to steal an NFL term, sort of opt out or something like that. But the reality is the risk is low, and there is a way to try to work your way through it. I think, and try to be safe and try to be responsible without just pulling the plug and saying we can't do any of this.
Well, Andy, and there's the problem, because I see the texts coming in at 37937. Thank you for the love and thank you for the hate. Much appreciated, as long as you feel some kind of way. You know, when you look at these decisions that are being made, you just brought up a word, responsible. And I think, you know, I see the text. The American Academy of Pediatrics and the head of the CDC said kids can go back to school. Let's not get it twisted, because I think some people, as soon as you say one thing that people disagree with regarding COVID-19, it gets into this, you know, political peeing match and people start going crazy. It's a measuring contest and, you know, people start talking about the president. First of all, I have no idea how an infectious disease got politicized. No idea. It should never be politicized, no matter who is in office. No matter who
politicized when the guy in office said, forget the science, trust me.
Right. But I'm just, all I'm saying is this. You can't, I don't know why people, and whatever was said by the guy in the office is what the guy in the office said, and whoever said it in the Congress is what people said in the Congress. It shouldn't matter. This is pretty much, you know, something that needs to be looked at objectively, correct? We should look at an infectious disease objectively. It doesn't matter who's in office and who's not in office and who's talking, who's not. It doesn't matter. So ultimately, what Andy just said is correct. Yes, I would love and I want kids to go back to school. You know, I am a business owner. When I opened up my business back again, you know, there were a lot of different things that we had to think about, the protocols that you had to do, the things that you had to follow. I own a bar, and you open up the bar and you have all the good intentions in the world, and you say to yourself, okay, well, we're going to have more hand sanitizer. We're going to have our, you know, servers wearing masks. We're going to space our tables out 6 feet apart, just like they're saying. We're going to have our deck outside where people can sit outside and they can enjoy themselves. And there's absolutely less risk when you're outside. There's no doubt about that. The sun helps. The wind helps. All that stuff. Gravity. Here's the problem, though, Andy. What we have found and what you see is that not everybody is responsible. And not everybody wants to be responsible. And when you talk about young men and women, it's even tougher to make sure that they're being responsible. So, yes, we could do it. We could absolutely do that. We could absolutely open schools tomorrow. The CDC says that we should, et cetera, et cetera. The devil's in the details. Will people actually responsibly do what they're supposed to do to keep the transmission down? Because I can guarantee you, Andy and Dale, if you asked the CDC, if you asked anybody who is saying, yeah, you could do it, if you ask any of those people, you know what they would say? You know what the rest of that statement is? Yeah, we could do it if everybody follows. We can do it if everybody's being responsible. That's the issue. Not every single person is going to follow those protocols. And if you have 5 to 10 people not doing it, it could start something.
All right, we'll turn our attention to the Bruins and their double overtime win last night. That's coming up in just a couple of minutes. Andrew Raycroft will join us at the bottom of the hour. Mike Giardi will talk some football and Patriots with us, the new high-energy New England Patriots. That's coming up at 12:30. It's Dale and Keefe with Hart and Cattles, Sports Radio WEEI.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices, anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.